Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, for an American young person, the first 20 years of life can tend to be remarkably systematic. You go to school, you go to high school, and for many, you go to college. Though there are a multitude of challenges and decisions to be faced, no question, there's a framework of what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to accomplish, and where you're supposed to end up at the end of the educational line, with a job. But then what? After a young adult enters the workforce, suddenly that framework is gone. Their environment has been altered completely, and many of us can find ourselves more than a little confused. So to hone in on that potentially befuddling season of life today, we welcome alongside Paul Angoni, and we head on the road with this author, speaker, and the creator of allgrownup.com, and that's grown, as it will be spelled for the duration of this interview, G-R-O-A-N, up.com, which has received millions of visitors from over 180 countries. His debut book, 101 Secrets for Your 20s, was released in 2013, and his latest work, aptly titled All Grown Up, Paul is a denizen of Los Angeles with his wife and children. Greetings, good sir. It's a pleasure to have you today.
Hey, it's a pleasure and honor to be here, Ryan. Thanks for having me on.
Well, as you rightly and humorously note in the book, all transitions are hard. I really enjoyed the way that you expressed the difficulty of transitions in the book. But Paul, why is our generation struggling to this extent to become adults?
Yeah, I think you put it really well in that sense that everything is so structured and systematic. You know, you go from middle school to high school, college, pick the right major, get the right grades, get the right job. It just keep climbing those steps, get to the next step, the next step. And when I kind of arrived, you know, with the college diploma in hand, the internships, the good grades, when I got to the top and opened the door, I was expecting kind of the dream life to unfold in front of me, you know, working at Google, and it's so exciting, so much fun, it doesn't even feel like work. You know, you're just laughing all the time about nothing just because you're so excited to be there. You know, that was kind of my unrealistic expectations of what adult life was going to be like.
Absolutely.
When instead I opened the door and I felt like they had tricked me, and somehow I ended up back in the basement, and it was dark and cold, and it resembled a lot less of Google and a lot more of like a Stephen King novel. You know, it was scary, and I was lost and confused, and there was just a bunch of doors, and most of them were locked, and that kind of began that exploration process for me of what now? Oh my gosh, how do you figure this out? And I think a lot of 20-somethings that I'm working with, that I speak to, they're going through that kind of that same process.
Well, I must admit that I identified very significantly and substantively with what you wrote, and it's this great, you really tell your story and offer some great insight in the book as well, but you had this to say in your chapter, Top Ramen Dreamer, about the scenario which you just described. You say in the book, I feel like my job search after graduation was like riding in a helicopter over Rocky Mountain National Park with the pilot telling me my dream job was down there in those trees somewhere right before he shoved me out the door. The fall was exhilarating until I smacked the ground. So tell us a little bit about your job search and kind of what you anticipated when you went into it and where you ended up.
Yeah, I tell the story in that same chapter of my first real job interview being for a used airplane parts sales assistant. And, you know, that has dream job written all over it. You
Definitely.
Know, I think most of us aspire to be a used airplane parts sales assistant. And I was freaked out, obviously, going into that interview because it was my first real-world interview. You know, so I had my tie. I had my freshly ironed shirt that I think I learned how to iron maybe a couple hours before the interview. But you know, so I was all nervous, and I was like, oh, I got to get this job. I got to be able to pay bills and pay rent, all these different things. But as I started going through that interview process and meeting one person after another, a thing became very clear in the fact that everybody there was completely miserable. It felt like I could just feel the life being sucked out of my bones being there. And I started really questioning, gosh, is this what I want to do with my life? And how do I figure out what I want to do with my life? And it just began, this process of asking a lot of questions as I realized, man, I know a lot less than I thought I knew. And really, this is the beginning of the learning process for me now that I'm leaving college. It's not the end.
Paul Angoni is with us on the road, the author, the speaker, the creator of allgrownup.com, the author of the aptly titled All Grown Up. And you talk pretty soon after in the book about a conversation that you had with your dad when it comes to, do you wait for your dream job or do you take a job because it's a job and you need a job? So tell us a little bit about that conversation and kind of how to grapple with that, because I think so many of us do.
Yeah. You know, I remember thinking to myself, am I going to be a top ramen dreamer or am I going to be a prime rib realist? So meaning, you know, am I going to take less and kind of am I going to choose a life of meaning or am I going to choose a life of money
right.
and stability
right.
or am I going to choose the unknowns? And I think you're right. A lot of us are faced with those same challenges, those same questions. Do I take that comfortable, cushy job that's not going to challenge me very much, but it's going to bring a lot of security and stability? Or do I go for those dreams? Is it even reasonable to dream? Or is this just, you know, our dreams packed away with our baseball cards and our dolls? You know, is that for being kids? Or can we actually dream of living a meaningful life, of pursuing something bigger than ourselves? And that began that process for me of figuring it out. And I started learning that really it's not this black and white yes or no kind of thing. I think for most of us, we need to do both at the same time. We need to work at our dream while we work at our work. You know, and we're kind of doing both side by side sometimes. It's not so black and white as, oh, I'm going to chase my dreams or I'm going to settle. I think for most of us that are doing really well, the people that are succeeding in this are doing both at the same time.
That's interesting. I had intended to ask you this later, but it kind of melds pretty well with what you've just said, talking about people needing to be more entrepreneurial as millennials and more creative than we've ever been before. But in a scenario like you outlined there, it almost seems like that's absolutely necessary, isn't it? If we're going to be paying the bills we need to pay, but also trying to chase a dream, then we've somehow got to apply those creative ideas.
Yeah, you know, I learned that the hard way where, you know, I kept trying to go full out for my dreams, but, you know, it just wasn't working out. So I had to keep working different jobs, office jobs that maybe I wasn't the most excited to work at the time. But I started figuring out, man, that's really the training ground. You know, these jobs that maybe aren't so glamorous, that's kind of the rite of passage. And that's where we learn and we grow our skill set. But then we also refine and define what we're really good at and what are we passionate about and what needs do I want to try to meet in this world or in the office or wherever it might be. And it's really that defining and refining process. You know, so I always was so discouraged most of the time because I felt like such a failure because my dreams weren't happening. But then I realized, you know, that the biggest failure of our 20s would be if we never had any. And that really success in your 20s is about setting the table more than it is about enjoying the feast.
Interesting. That's well said, sir. We're talking with Paul Angoni, the author, the speaker, the creator of allgrownup.com, and the author of All Grown Up. And grown, by the way, spelled G-R-O-A-N. And also, just wanted to declare that we have three copies of Paul's book, All Grown Up, that we want to give to three of you listening friends. And so if you're listening and you have an inkling that this is a book that you are going to want to get your hands on, well, you can just send us a note through our website. It's myfaithradio.com. Just look for On the Road, and you can send us an email right there through the page. That's myfaithradio.com and On the Road. And there's a lot of humor in the book. I don't know if it produces a groan or a chortle or a gale of laughter, maybe a little of all of those things, Paul. Let's switch it up for just a moment. Let me ask you this. Is there something the matter with us as the millennial generation? I mean, there's so much discussion about how different millennials are than previous generations, and much of that has not been particularly positive, I think it's fair to say. But what are some of the unique things that have shaped the generation, and maybe some ways the headlines are wrong in their analysis of millennials?
Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, I mean, the stereotypes are running rampant about millennials right now, and they're not very positive. I mean, if you've studied maybe 500 millennials and you can think up something negative to say, you're probably going to get a front page article about the topic.
Right.
And so, yeah, and some of it, there's some truths in some generalizations and obviously some things that maybe are a little bit over exaggerated. But this is a unique generation. You know, first of all, it's the biggest generation. I mean, we're talking about, depending on what age range you're using, but it's around 90 million millennials in the U.S. alone. And this is bigger than the boomers. This is the biggest generation. It's also the most diverse generation, and it's also the most highly educated generation that we've seen. And then on the flip side as well, we're leaving with an average of $33,000 in college debt as we enter the real world. So there are some unique challenges that millennials are facing, and especially as the Great Recession is taking place and our whole economy is changing. It's kind of like millennials had this vision of the American dream that maybe they saw their parents obtain, or they just saw this vision that this is what the American dream is. And I think for a lot of us, as we stepped into the world, as we stepped in to start grabbing hold of the American dream, it kind of exploded in our face. And I think millennials are still picking out the shrapnel and figuring out, okay, how do I be successful now? How do I obtain success? And yeah, there's some growing pains that come with that. And that's why it's all grown up, like you're groaning, because we are going through some pains in this process of figuring it out. But I don't, you know, with so much change taking place, I mean, who has it figured out? You know, I don't think boomers have the success formula figured out sometimes now, because so much is changing out from under us. And now picture a 22-year-old who doesn't have the same kind of work experience, that doesn't have the same life experience, and they're sorting through some big challenges. And so I think we could all be a little bit more empathetic to the struggle, and also help mentoring this next generation, not just pointing at them and saying, hey, stop being entitled or stop being lazy or whatever stereotype we're going to throw at them, but hey, can I help you? Because I remember what it was like to be a young 20-something and not have a clue what to do. You know, millennials could really use that.
Absolutely. And I love the way that you phrased that in your book as well, talking about showing up to your first job and saying, you know, transition basically has always bothered me, but now I'm back at the beginning, it seems, of a phase of life, and here my peers are 40 years old and they've got back problems that they're blaming on me somehow. And it's just, it's a really stark
exactly.
but beautiful picture of what it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think millennials are kind of getting blamed for a lot of things that maybe we didn't have that much responsibility at making happen, you know, to put it lightly. And we're just trying to navigate this. We feel lost,
yeah.
And we feel alone. I mean, I've gotten thousands of emails now from around the world. I mean, literally from so many different countries. I couldn't believe reading this website, reading All Grown Up. And the phrase I hear the most from 20-somethings is, I feel so alone. I'm the only one, I thought I was the only one struggling. You know, it's kind of this isolation that's taking place where we have this generation that's globally connected, that is connected on Facebook, that is literally every moment could talk to anybody around the world, and yet it's also a very isolated generation that is spending more time alone than any other age group. And so there are some really problems with that, that we're sorting through all these questions, but we're doing it in isolation. And whether it's in the workplace or with our faith or in relationships, we're trying to figure out the rest of our lives. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with that.
Absolutely. And as we do that, as we attempt to figure out our lives, we're comparing ourselves to others who are attempting that same figuring out philosophy. And I wonder if this wouldn't be a good time to talk about obsessive comparison disorder. You call it the new OCD. What are you talking about there, Paul?
Yeah. I think I write about that probably more extensively in my first book, 101 Secrets to Your 20s. And really, it was just this kind of new disease that I started discovering in my own life, but then looking at my friends and kind of the culture around us, that this new OCD is kind of like the smallpox of our generation. I mean, it's just running rampant, and it's really destroying a lot of things in the sense that this obsessive comparison disorder is this need to constantly be comparing ourselves every day with this vision and version of other people's lives that most of us are putting, especially on Facebook or on Instagram or on social media. You know, you used to have to go to your 10-year reunion to look everybody up and down, right? To see who's doing better than whom.
Yes.
You know, you rented a nice car for the night. You just faked your job for a night. You know, whatever it took. You got your best friend who was a good-looking girl to go with you, and that was your wife for the night. You know, you just faked it because all you had to do was pull it off for a night.
Right.
But now with social media, we're trying to pull off this kind of amazing life and this illusion that we have it all together. We're trying to pull it off every single day. And it just becomes overwhelming. And it really makes that isolation more real because we're not reaching out to each other because we think everybody is doing so much better than us while we're not experiencing the success that we were supposed to, that we thought we were going to have. And so it becomes this obsessive comparison disorder that just drains us and takes away all creativity and peace in this season.
Paul Angoni is an author, a speaker, the creator of allgrownup.com. That's GROAN, by the way, Grown Up. And the book is titled All Grown Up as well. He's with us here on Faith Radio on the Road. And I'm Ryan Thomas. Well, you lay out some of the issues there very well, Paul, but speaking from the perspective of your faith, how do we appropriately look at that issue of obsessive comparison disorder and realize that it's not about the stuff we have, it's not about the titles we have, it's something far deeper than that?
Yeah, I mean, and really this comparison problem, you know, obsessive comparison disorder. I was even reading, you know, the Bible the other day, and I was amazed to even be reading the story of the Last Supper. And, you know, it's this last dinner that Jesus and the disciples have, and it's this very powerful time, and it's where we get communion. You know, Jesus is breaking the bread, and if anybody that's grown up in church, you've kind of gone through that kind of powerful, thing, you know, with the communion service that we do.
Sure.
And I was even amazed when I was reading that kind of through the lens of comparison that Jesus is talking about how he's going to leave and, you know, he's alluding to his death. And then the disciples start talking about who's better than who, you know, who's going to be sitting at the right hand of God.
That's right.
And they start debating because he says that somebody's going to betray them. And they all start debating that, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And who is the best? And they start asking Jesus, well, who's the best out of all of us? And so it was just, it's so prevalent, I think, in our DNA, this kind of feeling of I'm getting my self-worth by comparing myself and trying to be better than other people at times. And then when it doesn't feel like that's happening, when you feel like, man, I'm not experiencing a lot of success, I'm feeling like a failure, then we're losing a lot of our self-worth because it's not based on anything substantial. You know, it's not based out of something that's more meaningful and more in depth. And that's when I was really even wrestling with my faith, and especially in this book, All Grown Up, I'm really honest about that because I just felt like, man, I just don't have what it takes. And God must be disappointed with me. I'm disappointed with myself. I just don't have what it takes. And it took me a long time to try to understand kind of the scandalous love that I talk about in the book that Jesus has for me, that God has for me, and that it's really not about the trophies that I can put on the mantle or the accolades or the good grades or all this stuff. It's something much more meaningful than that and has nothing to do with me and my success, but everything to do with God and his love for me.
It's interesting, and we're talking with Paul Angoni, the author, the speaker, creator of allgrownup.com. The book is also called All Grown Up, and it's spelled GROAN, and may I just say, it is a tremendous book. It's really funny, by the way. Not only does it have some great insight, does it tell a great story, but it will also make you chortle, which is good for your health, Paul. It's good to laugh.
Yes, I get some emails where people will say I was riding in a subway and I made the mistake of reading your book because I started laughing out loud, and when you start laughing out loud on a subway, people start moving away from you. And so I've gotten some of those comments, which is a great compliment to have. So yeah, I try to bring a lot of humor into the book because this stuff is funny. it's funny and it's hard, and if we can laugh about it, it's going to make it just feel that much more less painful to go through.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you speak eloquently in the work as well about how failure impacted you, and not just negatively, but how failure really was a part of bringing you to the place where God has you to be. So do we learn more in a sense from failure than we do it from success?
Oh, I totally think so. I think so much is refined and defined by failure, and it's just failure is the best clarifier in our life. And really, I think failure is the secret to finding what you're passionate about. You know, it's if you're failing at something, if you're pursuing a dream and you're failing at it and it's just not working out, and you still want to get up every day and you still want to try and pursue that, and you're just not going to give up and you're not going to let that no stop you, man, now you've found what you're passionate about. It's easy to keep doing something when you're getting a lot of success and accolades and money or whatever from it. But when you're not getting a lot of those external accolades and success from doing something and you still want to do it, yeah, that's when you've really found what you're passionate about. And really, there's so many people, even in history, people that we look up to, that it's not just, you know, in spite of their struggle that they persevered, you know, or that they became famous or that they did something big. It was because of their struggle that they did something meaningful. And really, you know, failure doesn't ruin our story. Failure really helps write it. It really is that point where we learn and we have that redemptive moment where then we become passionate about something because we failed at it, but we're going to keep picking ourselves up and we're not going to be a failure because of it.
That's tremendously said. Odes of Thomas Edison there with how many ways you have to invent a light bulb, not failing each time you discover the wrong one. So
exactly.
Our time is quickly waning away, and that tends to happen, but I want to make sure to ask you this before we go, Paul. If you were to give a 20-something advice on one thing that you need to accomplish in your 20s, what would you have them accomplish?
I think the key is finding what I call your signature sauce. This is your unique flavor and substance that you bring to the world that no one else can. You know, you're intentionally made. You are a master. You were created by a master craftsman, and you have so much intentionality in you. And really, your 20s, it's just this process of unveiling and figuring out what the ingredients are that goes into your signature sauce. You know, it's not following some new self-help plan or some fad or whatever. It's really just understanding how you were created, your strengths, your personality, your failures, your triumphs. You know, what breaks your heart? You know, what gets you excited? You know, all these different pieces that go into our story is a part of uncovering our signature sauce. And I think that is the crucial piece to just having that clarity and intentionality and having a vision and then matching it with goals and with strategy so that, yeah, you are intentionally choosing a life that you really want to live and not just passively waiting for your life to happen.
That's deep, and that is well said. Paul Angoni, the author, the speaker, creator of allgrownup.com. We've been talking about his newest work, the book All Grown Up, GROAN. And Paul, if people do want to learn more about this great book, where should they go? What's the easiest place to learn more and pick up a copy?
Yeah, I definitely my website is the best place to come to. It's, again, allgrownup.com, and grown as if you're groaning in pain, all grown up. And you can even pick up free chapters from the book off my website. You just enter your email, and I think you get the first 5 chapters for free.
Hey.
And also free chapters from my first book, 101 Secrets to Your 20s. So even if you're just interested to check it out more and you don't want to spend the $10 or whatever it is to buy it, just come snag some free chapters and get a feel for it, and then feel free to email me. I have my contact information there too. However I can help you, I'm here.
You are a magnanimous fellow.
Well, thank you. I don't think I've gotten, I can't even say magnanimous, so I will take that as a compliment though.
In all seriousness, it has been a blast talking with you, Paul. Thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for writing about this very central topic.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for having me on. This has been a blast.
Well, it has been a mutual blast indeed, Paul. And we just want to mention as we say farewell to you that we do have three copies of Paul's book, All Grown Up, that we'd love to give to three listening friends today. If you want to sign up, all you have to do is go to myfaithradio.com and just look for On the Road to send us a message right there on the form on that page. That's myfaithradio.com and On the Road. Thanks for listening in today. Hope you were blessed by the conversation. We'll talk to you again next weekend. Until then, God bless and have a tremendous day.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.